He had hoped to call on favors from his previous dalliance with the Underground, but it hadn't taken him long to discover that the Esper leaders had promised his head to Finlay Campbell in return for the Campbell services. You couldn't trust anyone these days. Still, it wasn't a complete loss. Finlay might yet die during the rebellion, with a little help, and afterward Valentine was confident he'd find some way to bargain himself back into the Underground's good graces. Or, if things somehow went the other way, and Lionstone yet pulled off some miraculous victory, or more likely, some form of compromise with the rebels, she would need someone to speak for her to the Underground, someone with good connections. And who better than the widely experienced Valentine Wolfe? He laughed quietly, quite at home in hell, and stood patiently before the Iron Throne, winking at the snarling maids. His body twitched and seethed with possibilities, his thoughts running a mile a second in all directions at once. So he stood still and said nothing. Let others speak. He would listen. He'd find a way to profit. He always did. And then let his enemies beware. The second figure to appear was, of course, the Lord High Dram, consort and widowmaker. He looked rather battered around the edges. There were tears and scorch marks on his clothes, and blood, too, some of it his. He'd been driven from the surface fighting by one rebel victory after another. When the war machine stalled and the Mater Mundi manifested, Dram knew a lost cause when he saw one. He deserted his men, disguised himself, and made his way back to court. He felt angry rather than guilty. Lionstone kept expecting him to do things that only the original Dram, with all his experience, could have pulled off, while he was only a clone, barely finished, trying to learn on the run and stay alive while men died all around him. It wasn't his fault he didn't know how to cope with overwhelming odds and strange new weapons and espers with the powers of gods. Even the original Dram had never had to face a ubiquitous Mater Mundi. And so he ran away and came home to Lionstone, like a child beaten by bullies at school, hoping not to be beaten again for losing. A view screen chimed, and Lionstone interrupted silence with a sharp wave of her hand. She activated the screen, and General Shaw Beckett appeared. He looked tired, beaten down. There was chaos on his ship's bridge behind him, with people shouting and cursing and running back and forth. Alarm sirens were sounding. Beckett looked steadily out of the screen at Lionstone and raised his voice to be sure his words could be heard clearly over the bedlam.
Your Majesty, I have done my best to defend your empire and yourself with all the powers at my command, but I regret to inform you that I have failed. The war in space is over. My fleet is scattered and destroyed. My ground forces have been overrun on all the worlds I can still get reports from, and I have nothing left to fight with. I can see no scheme or strategy that might enable me to overcome these reverses. Therefore, in order to save as many of my people as possible, in space and on the ground, I have contacted the rebel leaders and offered them my surrender. My advice to your Majesty is to do the same, for the best possible concessions while you still can. I will hand over control of the fleet to whatever authority replaces your Majesty. I'm sorry, Lionstone, but I have my men to think of. There's been enough death and suffering. Who knows? Perhaps this was all for the best, anyway. Good luck, your Majesty. If we both survive, perhaps we'll meet again in happier times.
He signed off, and the view screen went blank, while Lionstone was still drawing breath to scream abuse at him. She stared unseeingly about her for a long moment, beating on the arms of her throne with her fists. The maids stirred uneasily below her, picking up on her mood. Finally, her gaze fell on Silence and Frost, and she nodded slowly.
I am surrounded by incompetence and traitors, but I still have you. My secret weapons. I place command of all my forces in your hands, Captain and Investigator. Defend the Empire. Slaughter the scum rioting in my streets. Don't dare fail me.
And the rage boiled up in her again, and her voice rose in a frustrated scream.
No! Is there no one else to defend me from the rabble?
Well, there's always me.
Everyone looked around, startled, as Alexander Storm, the old rebel, came strolling unhurriedly through the horrors of hell. Jack Random walked behind him, pulling along a heavily chained and restrained Ruby Journey by a leash around her neck. When she tried to slow down or pull back, Random just tightened the leash till she couldn't breathe and had no choice but to hurry and catch up. Alexander Storm came to a halt a respectful distance away from the maids, signaled Random to halt, and then bowed courteously to Lionstone and the others present.
Your Majesty, honored guests, may I present my two prisoners, those most damnable rebels and traitors, Jack Random and Ruby Journey. Yours to do with as you wish.
There was a long silence, and then the Empress Lionstone laughed and clapped her hands together girlishly.
You see, my friends, it's not over till I say it's over.
Owen Deathstalker, his ancestor Giles, and Hazel Dark had arrived in the great antechamber that was the only access to Lionstone's court. A huge open chamber of gleaming steel and brass, with huge, intricately carved pillars of gold and silver, it stretched away in all directions, vast and empty and echoing. Normally it would have been full of the movers and shakers of Empire, all waiting impatiently for the great steel doors to open and their chance to gain the ear of the Empress. But now the great antechamber stood deserted and abandoned. Owen, Giles, and Hazel stood before the closed double doors and looked at them thoughtfully. Bound to be locked.
Oh, bound to be. I take it you don't have any codes for this?
Afraid not. I suppose you brought any explosives with you by any chance?
Afraid not. Guess we'll just have to smash our way through by brute force and ignorance.
Get on with it. I've come a long way to be here, and I have much to do.
Owen and Hazel exchanged a glance, but before they could say anything, there was a bright flash of light, and Jenny Psycho, Toby Shrek, and Flynn appeared suddenly out of nowhere. Jenny surrounded herself with a psionic force shield, then dropped it a moment later, as she realized no one was attacking her. Toby and Flynn checked to see that their camera was still with them and looked around with open mouths. Toby realized who was standing before him and where he was and gestured urgently for Flynn to start filming.
What the hell are you doing here?
The Mater Mundi wanted us here. Any problems, take it up with her. Apparently she wants the downfall of the Empress shown live throughout the Empire. Why she wants me here as well isn't yet clear to me. No doubt I'll find out shortly. So bring me up to date. What lies between us and the court?
Well, basically these doors. Personally, I thought there'd be more security than this. Owen broke off and they all looked around as they heard the sound of approaching, running feet. There seemed to be a hell of a lot of them. Those who had them drew swords and guns. Jenny gathered her power around her till it crackled on the air. Flynn sent his camera up to the ceiling, made sure it was pointing in the right direction, and then moved quickly to join Toby in hiding behind the others. He'd barely made it when a small army of Lionstone's personal guards came charging into the antechamber, armed with drawn swords and personal force shields. Owen took a firm grip on his sword. There had to be at least 200 of them. Hazel glared at him.
You had to open your big mouth.
The officer in charge of the guards yelled at them.
Surrender! You're massively outnumbered. You don't stand a chance.
Owen grinned at Giles. He doesn't know us very well, does he?
Finish them quickly. Lionstone could be trying to distract us while she makes her escape.
Toby spoke from the rear.
Can I just point out, in an extremely non-threatening way, that Flynn and I are very definitely non-combatants?
Kill them all!
The guard officer led the way forward. Jenny Psycho levitated into the air, spread her arms wide, and lightning blazed from her hands, striking down the first dozen guards. Hazel Dark shimmered, and suddenly there were a dozen of her. Hazels that might have been from other time streams, all of them grinning nastily at the prospect of battle. Giles teleported back and forth among the guards, striking men down and disappearing again before he could be attacked. Owen smiled and shook his head. He hefted his sword, boosted, and went to meet the guards with death in his eyes. They went to war against an army, and the numbers were no problem to them. No problem at all. At first, the rebels cut their way through the guards with grim efficiency, and soon dead bodies lay everywhere, getting underfoot. The rebels killed and killed, but still the guards kept coming. Owen fought on, swinging his sword with both hands, and no one could stand against him. He was boosting, and strength and speed sang in his arms. But for every guard that fell, it seemed that there were two more pressing forward to take his place. They swarmed around him, coming at him from all directions. And soon there wasn't enough room to swing his sword anymore, and all he could do was cut and stab. Backed by his boosted strength and speed, such blows were still devastating, but with enemies at his back as well as his front, he couldn't relax for a moment. He fought on, spinning this way and that, holding his enemies at bay, knowing that if he slowed down or hesitated even for a moment, he was a dead man. Quick glances around suggested his friends weren't doing any better. The Hazels had become separated, scattered the length of the antechamber, but still fighting furiously. Owen had to smile. It seemed that whatever reality the various Hazels came from, she was always a hell of a scrapper. One of the Hazels was forced back in his direction, and Owen was glad to see it was the original. They moved quickly to fight back to back, and Owen was happy to have her there. They'd always made an excellent team. He could see Giles fighting some distance away, roaring his ancient battle cries and bringing his huge longsword down like a hammer, guards surrounding him like attack dogs struggling to bring down a bear. He'd had to stop teleporting. There wasn't enough space left among the fighters for him to teleport into. It seemed to Owen that there were even more guards now than when they'd started, for all the dead bodies cluttering up the floor. They must be bringing in reinforcements, the cheats. Vinny Psycho was still hanging in the air, wreathed in lightning, but didn't seem to be lashing out with it anymore. This puzzled Owen, till he saw the guards bringing in S-blocker after S-blocker, piling up the brains in their glass cases, trying to shut down Jenny's amplified powers by sheer attrition. And for the first time, it occurred to Owen that just maybe this was as far as he was going to get. He'd come so far, fought his way through so many obstacles, but even he had his limitations. Even a boosted man couldn't stand off a whole army. He remembered how it had all started, so long ago now, with him standing alone against a crowd of his own turncoat guards on Viramon, outnumbered and about to die. Maybe he'd come full circle, only this time, Hazel wasn't going to be able to save him. She was as deep in trouble as he was. It seemed crazy to Owen that after all he'd been through, he was finally going to fall to a bunch of armed guards just because there were so many of them. He reached inside himself, trying to find the power he'd used on Mistworld to bring the whole building down, but there was nothing there. Nothing came to answer his call, no matter how desperately he tried. And he had no idea why. He was soaked in sweat now, and he had to keep blinking it out of his eyes as it ran down his face. He was breathing hard, and it seemed to him that he wasn't quite as fast as he had been. Some of the guard's blows were beginning to get through. Just a minor cut here and there, barely felt in his boosted condition. But a wound was a wound, and blood was blood. Enough blood loss would slow him down, despite the boost. And the boost wouldn't last forever. Beyond a certain point, the flame that burned so brightly would start to consume him, just as it had on Mistworld. He cut and hacked and blocked blows from every direction. He was a Deathstalker, and guards fell dead and dying all around him. He could hear Hazel grunting and bumping against his back as she fought, so he knew she was still with him. But over on the other side of the antechamber, he saw another Hazel with dark skin and dreadlocks go down suddenly under a dozen hacking swords, and though he watched as long as he could, she didn't rise again. Giles was backed up against a wall, cut in a dozen places, blood streaming down his face from a long cut on his temple. There was no sign of Jenny Psycho anywhere. And then he heard Hazel cry out in shock and pain behind him, and her back slammed against his for a moment before she fell to her knees. Owen spun around, swinging his sword with all his strength, forcing the guards back. Hazel sat slumped at his feet, bent over a gut wound. She dropped her sword. She was trying to hold the great ragged wound together by wrapping her arms tightly around her, but blood was pouring out of her. There was already a great pool of it forming around her. Owen knew a death wound when he saw it. He tried to say her name, but couldn't seem to get his breath. He dropped out of boost, and his sword arm fell. The guards rushed in. And all the rage and horror rose up in Owen, igniting his power once again, filling him with a blazing energy that would not be denied. He gave himself up to it, and it roared out of him like an unstoppable tide. The guards nearest him were consumed in a moment, like moths in a flame. And then more died screaming as the energy rushed on. The guards tried to turn and run, but it was upon them in seconds, destroying them all without quarter or mercy. In the space of a few seconds, every guard in the antechamber was dead, and only Giles and Jenny, Toby and Flynn, and a handful of Hazels were left standing. Owen shut the power down, looked at all the dead, and didn't give a damn. He sank down beside Hazel and took her gently in his arms. She laid her head against his chest, and he cradled her to him. She felt very light in his arms, as though she was already drifting away from him. He was quickly soaked in the blood leaking out of her, but he didn't notice. He tried reaching for the power again, but there was no response. Whatever the madness maze had given him, it was a thing of death and destruction, and not healing. He could slay an army, but he couldn't save the one person who mattered to him most. His chest was tight, and he couldn't get his breath. Hazel lifted her head slowly and tried to smile up at him. Her teeth were red with blood. Owen started to cry, great rasping sobs that shook his whole body. Hazel tried to say something to him, and then her breath went out of her in a series of shudders, and she lay dead in his arms. Owen held her close and rocked her like a sleeping child.
I did it for you. I did it for you, Hazel.
He heard footsteps approaching, but he didn't look up. He had nothing to say to anyone. And then, someone with Hazel's voice said his name. He stopped crying, a wild hope jumping in his heart. But it was only when the dead Hazel disappeared from his arms that he finally believed it. He made himself look up, and there was Hazel Dark standing over him. The real original this time. He scrambled to his feet, and then just stood there and stared at her, afraid to touch her in case she disappeared too. Finally, she reached out and took him in her arms, and he hugged her fiercely to him, like a drowning man clinging to the only thing that could save him. They stood that way for a long time, both of them breathing hard.
I thought I'd lost you. I really thought I'd lost you.
It's all right, Owen. I'm here. I'll always be here for you.
After a while, they let go and stepped back to look at each other. Owen wiped the last of the tears from his eyes with the back of his hand. Hazel smiled at him awkwardly. She looked around at the dead bodies heaped on the antechamber floor and nodded, impressed.
Way to go, Aristo. Remind me never to get you angry at me.
Never happen. Hazel,
I know, but we can talk about that later. Right now, we still have an empire to overthrow.
Owen shook his head.
It's always business first with you, isn't it, Hazel?
Jenny and Giles came forward to join them. Jenny had been busy smashing the S-blockers, and Giles had tied a handkerchief round his head to stop the bleeding. It wasn't the cleanest of handkerchiefs, but Owen didn't think he'd say anything. With the blood still drying on his face, the old warrior looked not unlike a pirate of old.
Nice show, Deathstalker. I'm impressed. Are you sure you're not the Mater Mundi in disguise?
Positive. Whatever I'm becoming, it's not an Esper. It's more than that.
Still, you did well, kinsman. You were wasted as a scholar, boy.
Toby and Flynn emerged from the alcove where they'd been hiding and hurried over to join the others, Flynn's camera tagging along behind them.
We're fine, too, just in case anybody cares.
Oh, we never worried about you. Everyone knows journalists are harder to kill than cockroaches.
And then, by some unspoken agreement, they all turned and looked at the great steel double doors that led into Lionstone's court. It was very quiet in the antechamber, as though even the dead were waiting to see what would happen next.
Do we knock, or do we blast our way in?
I don't think we need to knock. Lionstone knows we're here. She also knows she can't keep us out.
As if on cue, the doors swung slowly open, silent for all their massive size and weight. Blood-red light spilled out into the antechamber, along with the stench of blood and brimstone. Owen and Hazel started forward, sword and gun in hand, and they all walked forward into hell. In court, before the Iron Throne, Alexander Storm gave in to his need to strut a bit. The Empress was smiling down at him approvingly, and Dram and Valentine looked quite jealous. Razor and the Summer Isle stared coldly at him from their positions just behind the throne, but Storm didn't care about their opinions. Razor was an investigator. The kid was a psychopath. Silence and Frost and Stelmach didn't matter either. They were renowned for failing the Empress, whereas he had succeeded brilliantly.
I've been an Imperial agent ever since the rebels got their heads handed to them on Cold Rock. And all these years I've wormed my way deeper and deeper into the heart of the underground, trusted by one damn fool after another, sabotaging and undermining their operations pretty much at will. No one ever suspected me. I was Alexander Storm, the great rebel hero, friend and companion to the legendary Jack Random. I was a bit worried when Jack turned up again, but the mind techs had done a good job on him. They saw to it he never remembered much of his time on Cold Rock, let alone my desertion and turning. He never even remembered how I helped the mind techs torture and condition him to prove my loyalty to my new masters. So when he reappeared, I finally had to meet him, because putting it off any longer might have seemed suspicious. Well, it was all old friends together again, and he never saw past my smile to see the contempt in my eyes. After that, it was just a case of waiting for the best time to use the control words the mind techs had planted in Jack's subconscious. And here he is now, standing before your majesty, harmless as a newborn kitten.
Razor spoke.
What about the bounty hunter? There have been reports of her developing psi powers.
Don't worry about her. She's drunk to the eyeballs and loaded down with so many chains and restraints, it's a wonder she can still stand.
Storm wandered over to her and kicked her behind the knee. She fell heavily to her knees, her chains clanking loudly. Storm laughed and moved back before the throne.
I thought Jack Random was your friend.
Storm shrugged at Silence's remark.
He was. And then he let me down, by being only human. Legends shouldn't get old and tired and slow and lose more often than they win. I was tired of being a loser. I wanted to be on the winning side, to have wealth and luxuries and an easy life to make up for all my years of nothing. No one was ever grateful to me for all the times I risked my life on their behalf, the bastards. No one ever said, thanks, you've done enough, let someone else take over now. No, they just wanted more. Even Jack.
Into battle one more time on some godforsaken rock I'd never even heard of, leading dumb peasants against trained imperial troops. And all of it for nothing. All the blood and the fear and the death of friends. I just got tired of it all. So when Jack fell and was taken, I had a moment of very clear insight and saw the futility of rebellion. So I give up poverty and hopelessness for wealth and security and a chance to strike back at the rebels, make them pay for all the years of my life they had wasted.
He was still your friend.
My friend? I don't know who this is anymore. He should be my age, but he's young, and I'm not. He's a man of power and destiny again, and I'm not. All my life has been unfair, and he's always been the most unfair thing in it.
Kill you.
They all turned to look at Ruby, kneeling and weighed down with chains, fighting to hold her head up. She glared at Storm.
He trusted you, loved you like a brother, fought beside you. I'll kill you slowly, you treacherous bastard. Rip your heart out and make you eat it before you die. Chains won't hold me. Drugs wear off. I'll see you dead before I am.
Oh, shut up.
Storm swaggered over to her and punched her in the mouth. She fell backwards.
I never liked you, bitch.
He started kicking her.
That's quite enough of that.
Owen Deathstalker's voice rang across the court, and Storm fell back in spite of himself. Everyone turned to see Owen leading his companions through the inferno toward the Iron Throne. Two Deathstalkers, both legends and men of destiny. Hazel Dark, the pirate turned hero. Jenny Psycho, the sacred madwoman of the Esper Underground. And, like two crows with great experience of battlefields, Toby and Flynn brought up the rear. There for the end of the story, whatever it might be. Investigator Razor and Kit Summerisle moved quickly to stand between the throne and the newcomers. Storm hurried back to join Dram and Valentine Wolf. Silence and Frost drew their swords. Stelmach drew his gun. The maids in waiting stirred angrily and hissed at the new arrivals as Owen led them toward the throne. They stopped beside Ruby Journey, who looked up at them.
Took you long enough to get here.
Sorry, we got distracted. Need a hand?
In your dreams, Aristol.
Ruby stood up and flexed her arms, and the enveloping chains shattered and fell away from her. Ruby smiled nastily at the stunned Storm.
You didn't really think drugs and chains would hold someone like me, did you?
Owen looked around him, taking in the smoldering ash pits, the burning angels, the great vents in the floor from which arose the screams of the damned. The crimson light, the rows of the impaled dead, and the tortured sinners hanging on their barbed chains. When he finally looked back at Lionstone, his voice was as flat and cold as his gaze.
Nice place you've got here, Lionstone. It's you.
Your taste always tended to the extreme, but I think you've really outdone yourself this time. You've progressed from the disturbed to the actually psychotic. You've become a sick person, Lionstone, a mad dog, a rabid animal, and it's our job to shut you down.
Lionstone leaned back in her throne, apparently unmoved.
Welcome to our court, outlaw. We've been expecting you. We even have a few guests here to greet you, specially invited with you in mind. For instance...
She snapped her fingers, and a masking hollow illusion dropped away, revealing the huge wooden cross set up behind the Iron Throne. And nailed to that cross, Mother Superior Beatrice Christiana, the saint of Technos III. Her nun's robes were torn and bloodied, and her wimple was gone, replaced by a crown of thorns. Dried blood encrusted thickly around her pierced wrists and ankles, and more had run down her face, from where the crown had been jammed forcefully onto her head. She was still alive, and still conscious enough to feel the awful pain that racked her. Her face was twisted away from its usual serenity, dragged beyond humanity into pure animal suffering.
She seemed so eager to be a martyr that I thought I'd oblige her. If she's really sincere in her religion, she should take it as a compliment. A martyr's death is supposed to be the highest honor they can hope to obtain in this life. Isn't that right?
You bitch! You stinking bitch!
Surprisingly, it was Toby Schreck who broke first. He lunged forward, enraged beyond reason, as though he planned to free Beatrice by brute force. Flynn had to grab him and hold him back.
Let me go! I won't stand for this! Not her! She's the only decent person I ever met!
You'd be dead before you could get anywhere near her, boss.
Flynn held Toby firmly.
She wants someone to try something, so she can set her maids on them as an example.
He's right, Shrek. Listen to your friend. We'll deal with this. It's what we're here for.
Right. Make sure your camera's working. You're about to witness the death of an empress. Convenient of you to build your own hell, Lionstone. It means you won't have too far to go when we drag you down off your throne and cut your damned head off.
The show isn't over yet. Beatrice, this is your moment. Come on down and kill these vermin for me.
And as the rebels watched incredulously, Beatrice raised her head on the cross and smiled down at them. With one convulsive movement, she ripped her arms and legs free from the blocky nails holding her to the wood and dropped lightly to the ground. She started toward the rebels, still smiling, and everyone by the throne hurried to get out of her way. Lionstone was laughing. Toby stared stupidly for a moment, then gestured urgently to make sure Flynn was getting it all.
She's not the real thing. She can't be. Nothing human could have freed itself that easily.
Right. It's some kind of fury, a machine. Lionstone just had it nailed up there to upset us.
And it worked. I can't believe I was fooled again. Is nobody what they appear to be anymore?
You'd be surprised. Now stand back and give us a little room, journalist. This could get a little messy.
I knew you'd like her. Dear Valentine donated her. He had her constructed as a sex toy originally when he couldn't get his hands on the real thing, but he quite rightly thought I'd get more use out of her. I've even had some special augmentations added just for you. Aren't I good to you? Beatrice, dear, kill them all and bring me their heads.
The thing that looked like Beatrice Christiana surged forward incredibly quickly. Disruptor muzzles emerged from the holes in her hands. Dazzlingly bright energy beams blazed through the crimson air, narrowly missing Owen and Hazel as they threw themselves to one side and striking Giles square in the chest. The impact threw him to the ground. Hazel brought up her projectile weapon and opened fire, but the bullets rebounded harmlessly from the steel chassis under the flesh covering. Owen fired his disruptor, but the machine just ducked under the energy beam and kept coming. She was on Hazel before she could drop the gun and draw her disruptor, grabbed her by the throat with one hand, and lifted her into the air. Hazel dangled helplessly, choking as metal fingers cut off her air. She clawed at the metal arm with both hands, feet kicking a good yard above the floor. Owen threw himself at the machine from behind, but she wheeled inhumanly quickly and slapped him away with her free hand like a bothersome child. Hazel's eyes bulged as she fought for air. Owen was quickly back on his feet, boosted, and came at the fury again. He ducked under the sweeping arm this time and drove his sword at not Beatrice's unprotected throat. Steel slammed against steel, and the impact jarred the sword out of Owen's hand. He didn't hesitate and slammed his fist into its metallic side with all his boosted strength behind it. Amazingly, the steel ribs dented under the blow, and she staggered to one side, still holding on to Hazel. Owen hit it again and again, ignoring the pain of his skinned knuckles, doing damage, but not enough to make her drop her prey. And then Jenny Psycho stepped forward, a sword blade of shimmering psi energy emerging from her hand. She chopped down, and the energy blade sheared clean through the machine's arm. Hazel crashed to the ground, the steel hand still crushing her throat. She thrashed back and forth, tearing at it with both hands. Owen was quickly there beside her, and between them they broke the metal fingers one by one and pulled the hand away. Owen threw it to one side, and it lay twitching on the ground like a giant, malformed spider. The thing that looked like Beatrice stood facing Jenny Psycho, who grinned at it nastily. The energy sword disappeared from her hand, and she made a beckoning gesture. Beatrice looked at the Esper for a moment, a quizzical expression on her artificial face. Then suddenly she convulsed, her back arching. Strange noises came from her mouth, and her chest and sides bellowed in and out. And then her mouth stretched impossibly as all her artificial guts came fountaining up and out, pushing the teeth aside as they came. More and more flew from her mouth, torn out by Jenny's esque, and she staggered back and forth as the high-tech contents fell to the ground at her feet. Finally, there was nothing left of it but an artificial shell, tottering on its feet. Her workings lay steaming and twitching on the ground, spread over a wide area. Jenny smiled again, made a pushing gesture with one finger, and the lifeless shell crashed to the ground. And lay still.